Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And if you're not on my mailing list, you might want to get on my mailing list because you get lots of great gifts for free. So you get my clearing and protection spray formula, as well as 6 of my Fast Track Your Healing classes to get you self-healing quickly, and the first 6 chapters of my bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain. So I'd love to connect with you. I'm also on Facebook a lot, as most of my students and my patients know. And today we're going to be talking about hybrids. Now, no, we're not talking about hybrid cars, although I think they're pretty cool, with the exception of the whole battery EMF thing. But we are going to be talking about alien-human hybrids. Now, you might think, wow, Dr. Karen's gone way off the deep end talking about this stuff. But if you have been checking out my Spiritual Medicine Digest for the last couple of weeks, you've actually noticed a lot more talk about extraterrestrials. Why? Because it just comes up in my sessions with my patients. That's pretty much where I, you know, all this stuff comes up. So if I have a patient with a problem, or if I personally have a problem, whether it be, you know, physical or whatever, then I connect up to source and do my divine muscle testing, and I start answering some questions because I really love to learn, and source knows this, so source gives me lots of really interesting and sometimes very difficult cases to puzzle through and try to help. So more recently, I've had a few patients where, you know, this hybrid word has come up, and I thought, well, let me look into it. So I went on the internet and did a little bit of research, and I found this book, which I just bought, and I'm very interested. I really love even just the introduction, the first chapter that I've gotten through, and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be great if I could interview the authors? And so I had my wonderful assistant, Jennifer, contact the authors of Meet the Hybrids, Miguel Mendoca and Barbara Lamb, and they agreed to be on the show today to talk to us about this phenomenon. Now, just a little background, most of my patients that I have, you know, using, you know, divine intuitive muscle testing have sensed that they have alien actual DNA and human DNA. It's been really fascinating, like the percentage of the DNA. You know, a lot of people, it's like 50-50 or approximately 50-50. I found some people like 25%, and then like one person was like 60-something with some weird percentage, which I couldn't, you know, it was a little weird. But a lot of times it was 50-50 or 25%, at least from my, you know, divine muscle testing. I know that Miguel and Barbara have talked to a lot more people than I have on this, but at least from my point of view, the grand majority of the people that are so-called hybrids actually have physical, you know, alien DNA. Their alien DNA light scores are super high, so super high vibrational light scores. Now, they can have their own issues as far as, you know, being in a physical body and integration, and maybe we can chat a bit about that later. But I thought, well, isn't that interesting? And so when we ask, like, why, you know, what was the purpose of all this? And like I said, the grand majority has been a higher light purpose. So they're here to help. They're here to help, you know, with the ascension, you know, to help spread love. And it was like, wow, this is really cool. This isn't what you see necessarily in some of the scary TV shows about, aliens taking over. I mean, not to say that I have not found on occasion one or two where the DNA has not been, you know, has been, quote-unquote, infected with entities or whatever, where we've had to literally do, like, psychic surgery on them and just remove those parts. But for the most part, we've actually helped to, with the healing, integrate the human and ET DNA. So now they are one, so that these people can function better in their physical bodies. So that's kind of exciting work. So let me tell you a little bit about the authors. So Miguel is actually an Anglo-Azorean writer, and you'll have to tell me what that is, Miguel, based in Bristol, England. And he has honors degree in geography and history. He studied social science, environmental ethics at the postgraduate level. And he's been in the sustainability field for approximately a decade, you know, working on renewable energy. And he's written textbooks, book chapters, articles, papers, studies, providing evidence for campaigners around the world for better energy renewal and renewable energy. It's awesome. Thank you so much for doing that, Miguel. And he's internationally been a lecturer and worked in politics, finance, industry, civil society on coalition building and strategy. And he's actually contributed to a lot of new laws being introduced in several countries and states. And now he's a writer with fiction and nonfiction on ufology, which is a new word for me, which is kind of cool. Ufology, politics, relationships, spirituality, and consciousness. Now, Barbara, who's also with us today, is a licensed marriage and family therapist and certified hypnotherapist, regression therapist based in California. And for those of you that have been following me and knowing that I do a lot of work with releasing entities from people and even entities, you know, attached to ETs, that regression and hypnotherapy was really kind of one of the areas where that's, you know, a lot of the books first came out, you know, about entities when people got regressed, they were able to talk to entities and things like that. So I got a lot of my background and entities learning from those people that did the regression and the hypnotherapy. So she's been researching alien abduction and contact for about 25 years, working with thousands of experiencers. Those are the people that have experienced alien experiences. They call them experiencers, and has performed thousands of regressions. And she co-authored the 2008 book Alien Encounters, detailing the experiences of 25 individuals. And she's also written for the Journal of Abduction and Counter Research and served on its editorial board. And she's probably friends with my friend Mike Clellan here, who's also a researcher. Yes, yes, Mike lives here, you know, just in the next town over, and he's friends with a good friend of mine, Andrea. So you probably met them both. So she's been into ufology for quite a while. And she's quite in demand as a speaker at the international UFO conferences, and she does a lot of radio shows as well. So if you, by the way, her website is, if you want to check Barbara specifically, her website is barbaralammft.com, all one word. And the other website, if you want to check out the book too, you can get the book right on Amazon, Meet the Hybrids. But the website where you can check out the blog is meetthehybrids.wordpress.com, and you can check out the really cool blog. So Miguel, Barbara, thank you so much for spending your time with us today. I know, Miguel, you're calling from, you know, England, so thank you so much for being here.
It's a pleasure. Glad to be with you.
Yes, I am glad too.
Yeah, this is exciting stuff. I mean, I always tell my students that if they have an issue and if it's my job to figure out what's going on, then I always want to look to the experts to see if I can gather more information. So I really like, you know, just even reading the intro of your book and just about the attitude, because a lot of, I guess, folklore and TV and movies have really put on a negative spin to the whole alien thing. And just like there are, you know, good, so-called good humans and bad humans, there can be good and bad aliens, and we don't really focus on the good stuff, it seems. So I like how your book is really, you know, kind of grounding us into a different perception than what we've had before. So maybe, Miguel, maybe you could start with sharing with us, you know, exactly, you know, what is a hybrid per se, and is our, you know, our perceptions correct about what it is? Like, you actually have alien DNA or you don't? Can you explain more of that?
Well, in the time since the book came out, I feel like I've learned almost as much about the subject as I did during the actual research process originally. But most of that has been more, I think, about the lived experience of hybrids and how, you know, how their lives are, because I've become close friends with most of the people that were interviewed. You know, I keep up with everybody, and you know, we check in from time to time, and some of them I re-interviewed in the books that came out in last fall, a two-part book called We Are the Disclosure, and I interviewed Barbara for that also. And I think the idea of hybrid is certainly contested. I mean, absolutely every aspect of the subject is. I think in broad strokes, it is somebody with a genetic extraterrestrial component. Now, some people, I think some of the hybrids, I think, take a little exception in a nice way to the idea that people throw out that, well, we're all hybrids. Being that, you know, in terms of the narrative that humanity is a hybrid species, and there are lots of versions of this narrative in this field, whatever name we want to give to this field, I just call it the field or the subject, because every time I try to find a name for it, it's too small and it doesn't,
right.
It doesn't do it justice, it doesn't fit, it doesn't work. And that's one of the things that came out in We Are the Disclosure. But I think that there is this sort of genetic difference, but there's also, I guess we could try to use the analogy and see if this works, of people like, in the States, you have a lot of people who may be third generation immigrants, fourth generation, fifth, sixth, and they might be fifth or sixth generation and still say, a friend of mine, when I did my degree in Ireland, and somebody, one of my tutors said that they'd been to Ireland. They'd gone from Ireland to the States. I think they're in the South somewhere, traveling, working, and met some guy in, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, and you know, he picked up on her accent and says, "Where are you from?" And she said, "Well, I'm from Ireland, Irish." And I won't try and do the accent, but he was like, "Hot damn, I'm Irish too." And she's like, "Well, you're not. I mean, you're not Irish. You're American. You know." And so it's like a big difference. I mean, you could say, you know, some people might argue every single person on this planet is actually African, because that's where we're from.
Right, right.
We've just settled in other places. So I guess the hybrids that we talk to would make that kind of distinction, where people try and say, well, we're all hybrids. Well, kind of, but they're a different kind of hybrid. They are much more recently, excuse me, hybridized, let's say. Although somebody like Jacqueline Smith, as you'll read in Meet the Hybrids, says that she's aware of her grandparents being mantis hybrids. So, if you like, she's almost a third generation hybrid, therefore. But that's just the information that she has access to. And I felt at the beginning of the project that if you talk to a hybrid, you're going to get the goods on absolutely everything, that they understand it all inside out and backwards. And these are the people who hold the real knowledge on this stuff. And I discovered that although they do have, excuse me, a huge depth of understanding around these subjects, they are also learning too. And they will tell me that the beings that they are connected to will also say, we are still learning. So all of us here are all in this learning process. I don't believe any of us could really warrant the term expert, although I see that thrown around in the field from time to time. But honestly, the more I learn about the subject, the more I learn about my own ignorance, and I think probably most people's. I think what we're all trying to do is follow our guidance, our inner or external guidance, if there is any difference, and go wherever this subject draws us. And we learn what we learn, we experience what we experience, and people like you facilitate this kind of bottom-up disclosure process by allowing us to bring forward information that we've drawn from other people. So we're all in this process of kind of co-creating knowledge around this subject and trying to deepen that. And as researchers on our side, Barbara and I are simply trying to make it as available and as useful to as many people as possible.
Wow, that is just wonderful. And I think it's interesting you just mentioned earlier about the third generation, because I think out of the, you know, it's been less than a dozen people that I've worked on that, you know, their so-called DNA is hybridized or hybrid, that I believe there were two out of that 10, you know, people that we traced it back either to mother or father's father or mother, so grandparents' side. So, but that was not the most common. Like you said, it seems to be more recent. So I think it's interesting that some of the stuff that I'm getting kind of corresponds to what you guys have researched, even though I had no idea, you know, beforehand what the answers might be. So it's pretty neat. Yeah. And now you, you know, kind of focus in the book too, talking about their kind of like the life mission. So maybe you can elaborate on, like, why are they here? What's the mission? Is there a mission, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say a few words about this. And, you know, Barbara has, you know, lots to say on the subject also, because obviously this has been coming to her for decades at this stage. My sense is that the mission, I would say, There's levels to that, that people will see it as that they have a personal mission, which they tend to uncover over time. I think all of us are uncovering our own involvement in this subject, our deeper involvement over time. And the mission part of it, I think it's a quote by, I think it's Socrates, I could be wrong, it's one of those guys who said, where the needs of the world and your talents meet, therein lies your vocation. And I think that I think that's the case for all of us, and I think that people do kind of, I think with the hybrids, that's what I'm seeing from them. I'm seeing a group of incredibly talented people. I'm talented in many different ways, and they bring that forward, and they attempt to do that in to bring that forward in all of their dealings. I mean, I love to ask them off the record as such, you know, how they translate that to driving, for example, like in some of the really tough human interactions, how do they bring forward this love and light that everybody talks about? How do they contribute to this larger mission, which people tend to term ascension? And just to say a couple of words about ascension, I hear that so often in this field, that's what it's all about. It's all about ascension. Everybody is doing their bit towards ascension. But you will find that between the different interviews and Meet the Hybrids that there is a lot of variety, let's say, in terms of how people interpret ascension. Some people see it as a shift to a less dense physical state, to a state of more subtle matter. Some people will say we're moving to the, you know, we're in the sort of space-time kind of third, fourth dimension, third, fourth density at this point, it will be moving to a more refined state of being. And then others say, no, the way I see it is it's not about the planet shifting to become a hologram and everybody else with it. It's about us all developing spiritually. It's about a different way of being. It's, I mean, Cynthia and Jacqueline in the book over and over again drive home this point that one of the main aspects of the whole purpose of them being here is to help humans get out of their heads and into their hearts, to release judgment. And if you think about what would happen if everybody lived that way, if everybody tried to really think about that, and how would that actually work in my life? How would my relationships, my interactions be different if that is how I lived, if I released judgment? I mean, you'd have to say that politically the world would be a different place. I think economically would be a different place. I think the way that humans relate to one another, the way they coexist, the way they coexist with the natural world, I think these things would be completely different. And you have to say that no matter how you define ascension, to me, that idea of, if you like, purifying and clarifying and kind of beautifying our relationships, I think that, to me, is a pretty good definition of ascension.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's exactly the trends that I'm seeing and testing. And, you know, I work very closely with the angels and ask Source a heck of a lot of questions. And I just see trends because I see so many people. I work with so many people. I see these trends going on. And the increase in empathy is pretty massive, which sometimes can give people symptoms that they're not necessarily thinking that it's somebody else's stuff. Like, I've noticed people that weren't born particularly intuitive or sensitive, and suddenly, you know, they're moody and they don't know why, and they're panicky or whatever, and they're just feeling mass consciousness. Like, you know, for example, in the United States, when you know, President Trump won the election, there was a lot of you know, emotional energy flying around in the U.S., and it spread, you know, to other countries as well. And I can sense, you know, for myself, because I've been doing the work so long and just being so aware of when it's not my stuff. But I could feel it. I could feel those emotions of other people. And for those people that I have not been used to being that empathy, I think that's part of us being one, part of us choosing love, is that sensitivity to each other. Because I say to people, you know, if you could feel other people's stuff all the time and their pain and understand where they're coming from, then it's going to be really hard to be, you know, mean and nasty, and because they're just like you. So I think part of it is that, you know, going towards peace and love, that there's an intermediary step, which means we get to feel other people's stuff, just like FYI for you guys.
Yeah, I would say that over and over again that comes up, that is one of the key words that people will use, that the hybrids will use when they're talking about why they're here and what this is all about, and oneness, the one, connectedness, the heart, love. That seems to be what this is really about. At least this discussion, these people, I think when a lot of people start researching this subject, they will end up in the David Jacobs territory, which is all about fear. He's only presenting case studies, it seems, where people, you know, are in rather desperate situations. And I actually, for We Are the Disclosure, I interviewed Barbara and I interviewed Mary Rodwell on this question of why it is that they are finding such completely different narratives and experiences compared to David Jacobs. And perhaps, Barbara, you'd like to say a little bit about that.
Well, yes. I've presented at the same conferences with David Jacobs, and I'm very aware that we have a directly polar opposite point of view about the whole thing of hybrids, because he believes that hybrids are created for a very negative purpose, and that is to gradually become human-like enough from enough generations of breeding hybrids with humans, human enough so that they can live here on Earth, usually fairly clandestinely. And the idea is that he is afraid that they will, these hybrids will eventually be taking over the Earth, sort of gradually replacing human beings. And part of that also is that some of the people that he has regressed find that they're being sort of telepathically influenced to get to know these hybrids who are living here and to help them to know how to live as a human being, you know, how to buy groceries and how to handle money and how to use public transportation or get a driver's license and so forth. And so it's all a very, very negative, fearful point of view. And the point of view that Miguel and I have ascertained from knowing these eight hybrids in Meet the Hybrids is absolutely diametrically opposed to that. I would like to say a little bit more, if it's all right, about the missions, about some of the specific aspects of the missions of the hybrids. One of the things is they're here to help humanity to be aware of the reality of extraterrestrial beings. That's kind of like a beginning step. And they're here to help humanity be aware of the multitude and the variety of extraterrestrial beings. They also are here to help us be aware of interdimensional beings and other dimensions, other frequencies, as they call them frequently, that do exist in reality, because we human beings are so focused on the physical aspect of reality, 3D reality, and yet there is so much more actually in existence to what reality really is. And they, again and again, each one of them, in one way or the other, expressed that they felt like they were a bridge between human beings and extraterrestrial beings. And they're here to educate human beings about the extraterrestrials. So all in all, they're here to raise human consciousness and to become more spiritually developed. And they also want to inspire humans to protect the Earth itself and certainly to protect life on Earth. And some of them have expressed that they're here to anchor higher frequencies on Earth. As one of our hybrids, Jujuli, said, just our being here as hybrids brings higher frequencies and helps to anchor higher frequencies here. So, of course, that means that everybody whom they have contact with, including animal life, has the opportunity to be just tweaked and have their frequencies raised a little bit without any effort to do that. Just having contact with one of these hybrids gives you a chance to have your frequencies raised a bit. And then, of course, they're here to help with the process of ascension, as Miguel has been talking about, helping us all to evolve to a higher dimension. And in that higher dimension, that higher consciousness, even if we stay right here on 3D Earth, in that higher aspect, there would be no conflict, no wars. Wouldn't that be wonderful? There would be only peace and cooperation between people. There would be no strong polarities. You know, we see these polarities all over the place, don't we? Good, bad, light, dark, in, out, one team against another, one country against another, one political party against another. So the idea is that with this ascension process into a higher consciousness, you know, that would be so diminished or maybe even limited, eliminated, these polarities. And so they also foster, in a general sense, connection even between people and between people and animals. They foster communication. They foster self-empowerment and enlightenment. They talk about helping humans to become more liberated, more inspired, and to be more involved in healing. So they're all about raising consciousness and protection of what is good. And through all of this is the emphasis on their caring for people and the animals and the earth. And I think that one of the notable aspects about this whole thing about hybrids being with us is that at least the ones whom Miguel and I know very well, they're not here for fame or for being particularly noticed. There's no fanfare that they want. They're just simply here in their own locations, just kind of quietly going about their own business, which includes teaching classes and workshops and seminars and, in some cases, writing books to share this perspective. And they have private clients, and they give healing services and a number of different specialized services. But they just do it with people being drawn to coming to them, you know, without any big advertising or big deal, public promotion or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
it doesn't sound like taking over the world at this point.
Oh, no, no. And, I mean, if there's anything at all in that direction, it would be helping people to be more influential in a very positive way in the world. Yeah, this is no power grab, that's for sure.
Right. Well, you know, Barbara and Miguel, I think that I hadn't actually known David Jacobs' work at all, but I think that it's, you know, as humans, whatever our perception and vibration we are emitting, that's who we get in return. So mm-hmm. you know what, he's emitting a fear vibration, and so he gets, you know, the stories and whatever, and those people coming to him that have been through whatever, you know, that's fear-based,
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
you and Miguel are more love-based, and so you get the people that are love-based.
You
and
know, that,
I think,
that's been said,
you know,
so
what I mean?
Often to me that I and Miguel seem to just attract people to us who maybe are having more of the positive experiences with extraterrestrials. And, you know, frankly, I think that it's very possible that both kinds of hybrids exist and come here to the Earth, that is, the negatively intentioned ones whom David Jacobs has contact with, and the positively intentioned ones, which Miguel and I have been so privileged to know. And the reason why there could be these different types is that there are so many different species of extraterrestrials existing in the cosmos, and these different species of extraterrestrials all have their own unique agenda. And in mm-hmm. my regression therapy practice for 26 years now, it's very frequently happened that people are aware that their reproductive material is taken, eggs from women and sperm from human men, and then mixed together with the extraterrestrial reproductive material and genetics to create a hybrid. Now, I've been aware of that since about 1991 from people I've worked directly with. And so it certainly appears that there are many, many, probably thousands or millions possibly of that kind of hybrid having been created and living on the UFOs with the extraterrestrials who have created them. And those hybrids are not human enough to be able to live here on Earth. You know, they wouldn't be able to withstand our bacteria or our viruses and so forth. And also they would look different enough that they would probably be shunned by humans because they would look so peculiar and so uncomfortable. You know, so those hybrids don't tend to live here. But certainly the more advanced hybrids and the more human-like they are, you know, the more that they would be able to live here. And I think it's important for clarification for your listening audience to say that our hybrids in Meet the Hybrids were actually all born here on Earth from human parents. But they were made to be hybrids in various ways. Each of them have a slightly different accounting of that. Would that be interesting to go into?
Yes, that's actually the next question, sort of like how are hybrids made? Now, I haven't gotten to that part in your book yet, so I can just tell you from my testing of these, you know, 10 or so people that I've been working with very recently is I'm getting somewhere through sexual contact with actual, you know, actual 100% aliens,
yes.
But they look humanoid. And then the other was somehow artificially, for lack of a better word, injected, infused, something like that, you know, at conception or soon after conception. And that's how they got it. So that's just what I'm getting so far with the 10 people that I've tested. Those are the couple of ways. So I'm very, very excited to hear what you've
uncovered
in your research.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm very impressed, too, that you've actually been working with people and found out some of these things for yourself. I think that's great. Well, with one of them, her mother was abducted by humans from a secret human program, probably a government-involved program. So she was taken, well, she was actually drugged by her husband who was involved in that program. On a celebrative occasion, he slipped a little something into her champagne, and she became unconscious, and she was taken by a certain group of extraterrestrials, and this had already, or she was taken by humans, sorry, and an embryo was implanted in her womb, and that became this particular hybrid I'm talking about. So the embryo already had her mother's egg and her father's sperm, and at least two types of extraterrestrial DNA. So that embryo was already created before the mother was abducted, and it was implanted in her womb in this abduction. And so then the mother was pregnant and carried that baby full term and gave birth to her. And that was, or is, I should say, one of our hybrids who's alive and serving incredibly wonderfully here on Earth. So that's how one of those hybrids became hybridized. Now, another one came from parents and grandparents who used to be mantis ETs. That was already mentioned in this program. And then when the mother was pregnant with this particular hybrid, a tall white Zeta extraterrestrials implanted extraterrestrial DNA into the fetus, and that was from a combination of extraterrestrial races and from her parents, and also material from a hybrid man living on Earth. So that happened while the mother of this hybrid was pregnant. In another case, the hybrid woman was actually, you know, born naturally here, and then at age six, the extraterrestrial beings came and inserted their DNA directly into her.
So yes, I had
happened.
One of those, too.
You did?
Now that you say that. Yeah, one person out of the 10. Because I asked when it happened, and it was around 4 or 5.
Okay. Yeah, and in this case it happened at 6. So in other words, for most of the life, that person was a hybrid. And before that, that person just got to live as a regular baby and toddler and young child. Now, in another case with another one of our hybrid women, her mother had a child or two and then was told by the doctors that she could have no more children. It would be impossible for her, because of things that had happened, impossible for her to have any more children. But after that, the extraterrestrials did some procedure with the mother to facilitate her conception of our hybrid, and the hybrid was able to be carried full term and born and raised. And that particular hybrid, by the way, didn't know that she was hybrid, although she wondered about herself, but she didn't know that she was hybrid until she got confirmation through a visit of reptilian beings, and then the reptilian beings answering her question, you know, could she possibly be somehow one of them, then they temporarily changed her into her true reptilian form. And she wasn't young when she realized that. She was actually fully adult. And by the way, when she was changed into her full reptilian form, oh, she was incredibly happy and relieved, because she had always felt so different. She looked very much like a human being. In fact, a very lovely human female. But she was so happy to experience being the reptilian form with a big reptilian tail and the skin and the eyes and more muscularity and everything that goes with that. So they let her experience being in her full reptilian form for a while, maybe an hour or so, and then they helped her to change back into her human form, because she was intended to live here and to work here. Now, in another case with one of our other hybrid women, she was already gestating in her mother's womb, and then her mother was taken onto a craft, a UFO, and the fetus, our hybrid, was embedded with what she called ET genetic coding. So that would be a genetic influence, I should think. And then three others of our hybrids were already fetuses in their mother's wombs when the mother was taken and injected with the ET DNA. So I think this is really quite a brilliant setup, because it means that these people, especially having been born here and living with families, growing up with families, and in some cases siblings, that they had a start as a natural human being, and yet did have or would have these genetics in them from the extraterrestrials, but they all look absolutely fully human, and they look like enough like their own families that they were born into, and they had a regular, you know, nursing and child raising and everything and going to school, so they could be thoroughly integrated into the human society, and yet they had these special abilities, which as they got older and older, they could really give to help other human beings. And, you know, I think it's brilliant, really, because when you step back and think about it, extraterrestrials who really care about humanity, and many of them do, and they know about humanity, they know about so much more about humanity than we all together, I'm sure, know about them. They're so telepathic. They must have remote viewing techniques, I should think. They have remote sensing, remote clairvoyance. So they know a lot about humanity, even down to tiny details, even down to human beings' individual thoughts and feelings. And yet here they are, these extraterrestrial beings, from our point of view, so far away in the galaxy and even beyond the galaxy. So they all, well, most of them, look different than humans. The Pleiadian types, Nordic types, look very much like humans, and people see them and assume that they're humans, usually very attractive humans. But all the other types look different enough that they would not be able to fare well here if they came here personally and intermingled in the culture. They can come here for a very, very brief time to take people to their experiences, their encounters, and then to also to return them. But that's a very, very brief period of time. They seem to be able to manage that. And, of course, they do that very secretly with nobody else around the person who's being taken, with nobody else is aware. If there's anybody present when that kind of encounter begins, the beings make sure that the other person in the vicinity, even in the same bed, for instance, will be out of consciousness, not harmed in any way, but out of consciousness. We tend to call that being switched off. So they can come very quickly, take the person for the encounter, usually to a UFO. Once in a while, from my regressions, I know that they've been taken to other planets or underground facilities if they're taken by humans. That's part of this whole program as well. And then return very, very quickly. And then the beings leave. But since they cannot come and fare well here and wouldn't be accepted here for the most part, I think it's a brilliant plan that they have created the hybrids who are very in touch with these beings who have created them. And they the hybrids then are human enough so that they can definitely live here for a whole lifetime and effectively do the work here that the beings would like to have them do. And, of course,
yeah, that makes
people,
a lot of sense.
Yeah, these hybrids keep having encounters with those beings, too. And it's interesting that, you know, most people who have extraterrestrial encounters, you know, tend to be frightened of them because it's so unknown to them and seems so strange and it is that sort of done in that sort of secretive way. So people tend to get very frightened about it, not really knowing what these beings are about or what they're going to take them and do to them. And then they have their memories erased so that when they come back, they don't remember very much at all about the encounter. Some people remember a bit or even quite a bit, some of them, but most of them don't remember anything at all about what happens in the actual encounter aboard the UFO. And that's why regression is so helpful, because they can find out every moment of that encounter, because the subconscious mind of the person has recorded it all, even those things
right.
they don't consciously remember. So I think that's fantastic. It's a real honor that we have that mechanism and we can find out the details of what to know when we're ready to know it. So isn't it great that these beings who are very, very caring about humans and all life on Earth and on planet Earth itself, that they can work here through these hybrids and not have to stay here themselves?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the questions, we have a couple questions here from folks on the chat, but one of the questions I had was, what about free choice and free will? Because that's, you know, God-given. So if someone's getting abducted to get injected or whatever, doesn't that go against our free will unless our soul made a contract prior to our incarnation?
Well, you just put your finger on it, I think. In the regression work that I've done with so many people, when they've wondered that question, why me? Why am I being taken? Why isn't my brother being taken or my, you know, anybody else I know? Why me? When we've done a regression to find that out, again and again, it has come to the point that they are taken back to their soul state of being in the regression, the very conscious, aware soul state before coming into this lifetime. And in that soul state, there's always a planning session, we could call it, where they're with other very conscious, aware, wise souls, and they're looking at the prospect of coming into another lifetime here on Earth, and they're discussing different things to come into the lifetime for, different things to learn or to practice or make amends for, karma to balance, etc. And in that process, that planning session, they are approached by the souls of some extraterrestrial beings. So this is still in the spirit realm we're talking about. And the extraterrestrial souls are asking if they would agree to cooperate in the lifetime they're about to go into. And amongst all the other things that person will do, they're asked if they will allow contact with extraterrestrial beings and allow the beings to learn about them, take them for experiences like that. And the soul of the person getting ready to incarnate agrees that they will do that among many, many other things that they are planning to do and experience in this lifetime. So there's been so much evidence, from my work at least, that there is this soul contract that people make. And of course, just like we have forgotten all the other things that we had decided to come here and do, experience, and work on in this life, at least I think most people have consciously forgotten that, we forget about that contract with the extraterrestrials. Mm-hmm. So the
okay, well, that makes total sense. Thank you for clarifying your work.
So in that case, it's not done against our free will.
If we look at it from that perspective,
and everyone I've worked with who has found that out in their own regression, it's not an idea that I tell them about, it's something they discover for themselves, oh, they really feel so much better about having these encounters. And
right,
also,
that's a really great
thing,
point.
Another thing that is so very helpful is that again and again, with the few thousand regressions I have done for extraterrestrial encounters, once a person has even that first regression, which they have been very afraid to do, understandably, I can really appreciate that. Like, oh, what am I going to find out? Oh, my God. You know, that they come in with that attitude, and yet they want to. The interest and the curiosity has outweighed the fear of finding out, you know. And so I really respect these people so much for coming for these regressions. Anyway, once they've had one regression and found out that, yes, these were unusual-looking beings and the environment was different, but and they might have been examined or poked and probed a bit, but they can find out from the beings during that regression what the purpose of all that is.
Mm.
And once they find out that it has a lot to do with their own good, the person's own good. And so they feel much more relaxed after that, even that first regression. And then many people want to find out more, well, what else happened in other encounters that I had. And they go on to find out that there have been so many good things that have happened in many of their encounters, including being physically healed. And some of these people have had cancer and really difficult heart problems and so forth. In other words, really very serious maladies. And the beings, the extraterrestrial beings, have been able to really do fantastic healing work on them, even replacing organs or blood vessels that needed replacing. I mean, really complicated procedures that they've done very, very successfully so that the person continues to live throughout the years of his or her life, which is really great. And many people find out, too, that some of the beings on board the craft are highly, highly developed and spiritual. Some of them seem to be other dimensional beings of a much higher spiritual nature. And some of them even teach the people who are taken for these encounters, teach them how to do healing back here on Earth. And it's interesting to me that back in the 1990s, when I was just, you know, learning so much about this from the regressions I was doing, that there were several people who had been in business or some particular career and then had suddenly changed and dropped their business careers and became physical healers.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out in the regressions that they had made that change because they were taught by the extraterrestrials to be very effective healers, and that influenced their life here on Earth. So there's a lot of good that people find out in these encounters that they would never have guessed, you know, before they did the regressions.
Right. So, Barbara, I have a couple questions from Margaret. She asks, do these hybrids have anything unusual about their body processes, such as heart rate or respiration, et cetera?
Is the RH factor
related to this, or people that have diseases like sickle cell anemia, are they hybrid or possibly hybrid or have hybrid ancestors?
Well, on that last question, that is possible. But they do have, some of them, physical differences from the rest of us. For instance, one woman has a very different bone type throughout her body, a different bone consistency. And that was discovered way before she knew she was a hybrid, but discovered because she, on a couple of occasions, broke bones when she was a child and went to the hospital, of course, had regular medical treatment, and it was discovered during those processes that she had a very different bone consistency. That particular woman, hybrid, also has thumbs that are much wider toward the end of the thumb than the rest of us. And it turns out to be very convenient for her, actually, because her work is making sculptures of extraterrestrial beings. And these this woman is named Cynthia Crawford. She's public about it. She would not mind my mentioning her name, I'm sure. And Miguel and I have come to know her very well, a wonderful, wonderful woman who is a hybrid. And when she makes these extraterrestrial sculptures, she is channeling through them. She's being guided and directed about exactly the form, the size, the proportions, the facial features, any of the features about the sculpture. So it's very closely monitored by the beings. And she displays these beings at some of the UFO conferences, many of the conferences that I have spoken at. She speaks at some of them too, but she always has a display of these sculptures, and people come along and see her table and see the sculptures. And very often they are drawn to one particular sculpture of one type of extraterrestrial beings. Among her sculptures, she has, I'd say about 15 or more different species of extraterrestrials represented in those individual sculptures. So a person will come along and feel very drawn, very attracted to one particular sculpture representing that type of extraterrestrial, and they will buy the sculpture and take it home, live with it. And Cynthia has received so much email and telephone and postal mail feedback from these people about how they felt really energized by the sculptures at home and activated. For instance, I'll just give a personal example. I've always considered myself a kindly person, a caring person, not more than most people perhaps, but that's in my makeup. And Cynthia sent me a sculpture about a month or so ago, and it was a sculpture of one of the mantis beings whom I had told her I have been for years now, 20 years or so, I have been very favorably feeling about the mantis beings. And when I've seen a little praying mantis in my back garden, I'm just thrilled. Anyway, I had told her that, and she sent me a mantis being. And when I opened the box and took out this sculpture. It's only about 10 inches tall. It's just sort of from the waist up of the mantis being. And I immediately felt this huge rush of heart love activity, just like my whole heart center just glowed and beamed and warmed up. I could just feel love coming, pouring out of me in all directions. And I did not expect that. I wasn't thinking of that at all beforehand, but it happened. And every time I see the sculpture on a particular table, I have, oh, it happens again. Just this real heart warm, loving feeling for all of humanity and all beings everywhere. That's just one example of
they're so
type
cute.
Of effect.
I'm looking
yeah.
at Cynthia's page. Oh my gosh, they're so cute.
Oh yes, you can see the variety of extraterrestrial beings. They all have different characteristics. They all look a bit different from each other. And they don't look like humans, and but they look really wonderful, in my opinion, in their own way. And they have different skin colors, and some of them are more radiant than others. Some of them are more other-dimensional, which is tricky to actually enact in a sculpture in our 3D reality, but she
right.
does that very well. So that's just one of the missions of services that the hybrids have. They all have a series of services to humanity and what they do according to the skills that they have. And they all are very, very psychically attuned and have tremendous intuition. Some of them even have telepathic skills, particularly if they meet with each other. And extraterrestrials are well known for speaking and communicating telepathically. And they do that with humans. So apparently we humans, probably all of us, have some ability to receive telepathic communication, although we don't experience that with each other, humans, but we do experience it from extraterrestrials because they can send out thought telepathically. Fortunately, we have the mechanism to receive it, and maybe eventually we'll develop the ability to send our thoughts effectively. Telepathically.
my husband and I kind of practice that from time to time. Be like, honey, go get
Good.
Some milk. You know, in this case, coconut milk. You know, and he goes, you know, I was standing at the aisle and looking at this aisle going, why am I standing at this aisle looking at this coconut milk? You know? And he'd be like, I wonder if she needs coconut milk. You know, we don't often practice it, but it's worth practicing.
Well, it
you know,
is.
With
the
our
more
loved
you
ones.
Practice. The more you practice it, the more that you'll get it. You know, you'll develop that ability, just like practicing any kind of ability in any way at all, including including psychic abilities. I've slipped into
okay.
psychopathic. Oh, dear. No, we don't want to develop
absolutely.
That.
Well, what about the RH factor, Barbara? Is that we've seen articles online about if you have the RH negative factor in your blood, you're an alien. Have you seen those articles? I'm sure you have.
Well, I haven't seen them, but I've heard it through other means, and I'm just looking for some notes to. I do have some thoughts on that were given by one of the hybrids. About the different blood types. And that's a very interesting thing. Yes, I have heard that RH negative blood goes with reptilians. Now, I would not venture to say that every person in the world who has RH negative blood that necessarily has reptilian DNA, but maybe some of them do. So Jujuli, one of our hybrids, told me that the O plus or the O negative blood means that a person has a lot of Syrian, S-I-R-I-A-N, Syrian DNA, not to be confused with the people in Syria on Earth, but Syrian extraterrestrials. So O positive or O negative blood, she said, and she was told this by her extraterrestrials. That's where this material comes from. And she said additionally that people who have A plus blood or AB blood have some Orion ET species DNA. And then, of course, the Rh negative blood. And I hasten to say that with the reptilian aspects, some reptilians, there are many different types of reptilians, first of all, and some of them are much more positive from our human point of view than other types of reptilians. And I can personally attest to the fact that there are some really positive extraterrestrials who are reptilians because I had a very conscious awake encounter with one of those myself a few years ago. And people experience reptilians in quite different ways when they go back into the regressions to the experiences that they've had, and some are much more sort of arrogant and big. They're big and impressive and muscly and very powerful looking, and some of them seem very grandiose, and they wear robes and insignias and high collars that flare out. I mean, they really love to strut their stuff. But they're not necessarily mean. They're just kind of very proud of themselves, sort of egotistic. And some are really more frightening, seem to be a little bit more controlling of people, seem to be a little more sort of harsh. But then there are these kindly reptilians, too, who exude a really nice, friendly, safe feeling, and yet they definitely look reptilian, for sure. I think that there are a lot of people on Earth who probably have a portion of reptilian in them. And on two occasions, I've been talking with a person. They both happen to be women, and this is different occasions, different places, even years apart from each other. But on those two occasions with each woman, I was having a regular conversation and looking at their eyes in the normal way, like you do when you have a conversation, and gradually seeing the round irises and round pupils change to being vertical pupils, like vertical slits.
Really? Wow.
So I watched the change happening right in front of my eyes.
Wow. They can do that consciously?
They did not know this, apparently. One of these occasions happened in 1997 when I was on a trip to Bali, but this was another American woman who was on the trip, and I didn't tell her until I happened to see that woman about 2 years ago, and I told her then. And she said, oh, I had not been aware of that. Okay, then the second person whom I saw this with was Cynthia Crawford, who has, she knows and we know, has reptilian DNA in her and has experiences encounter experiences sometimes with reptilians, and they're very friendly, good reptilians from her point of view. Anyway, we were having a conversation one evening, and it was fairly decent light in the room. I was, you know, looking at her eyes and having conversation, and just over a period of several seconds, I saw her round irises and round pupils change into these vertical slit-like pupils, and I was just watching with real fascination, and I said, Cynthia, is there anything that you're feeling in any way in your eyes or something of that sort? Do you feel anything different in your eyes right now? And she said, yeah, I'm feeling kind of a pressure in my eyes, but not bad, but a minor pressure. And I said, well, the reason I ask is because I've seen them now, and now they are completely the reptilian look, the vertical slits. And so we had a couple of other people standing near us in that conversation, and I suggested that they look in her eyes and tell me what they see. Oh, I said, oh my gosh, her eyes have vertical slits.
Wow.
And she went
That's
to the
amazing.
Mirror to see it for herself. And then they eventually just sort of changed back again. But
oh,
there are
amazing.
People like the two of our hybrids have actually been seen changed into their full reptilian form. And fortunately, they were seen by another hybrid when this happened. So this other hybrid, the other person, didn't freak out or get worried. In fact, they kind of liked it. So,
wow.
Yeah. And in fact, I mean, it's strange. I would love to be able to see that myself. In one case, the hybrid who saw the other hybrid who was lying in bed sleeping, they were sharing a room at a conference. And and so the one who saw this looked over at her roommate and saw this full reptilian form with the bulge under the sheets and the blankets for the reptilian tail. And but she said she still had the look of the original hybrid person there, even though she was in the reptilian form. So that's kind of so the one who saw her didn't worry, and she has reptilian in herself too. So, you know, it was kind of like almost a welcome feeling. I think if most of us saw that with a roommate, you know, we might have
might
a different
scream.
Reaction.
That's great.
Quite startled, and who knows what we might feel.
Well, well, Barbara and Miguel, we actually have a caller, and we also have a question here as well. We've got about 13 minutes left. I did want to share with you the this is posted on our private Facebook group. Now, it sounds more like a soul thing versus a DNA thing, so this might not be in, you know, the area that that you can answer, but I'll say it anyway. She says, it feels like an ET soul took over and comprises about 45%, causing her to feel hidden. Maybe she's talking about a client, actually. Like, I'm not sure who's running the show, causing her to feel disempowered, depressed, and making little progress moving forward. Have you ever encountered anything like this before, was their question. So that's
well,
question number one.
Well, in other words, yeah, it sounds like a spirit possession.
Yeah,
not a spirit,
it sounds like that
too. Extraterrestrial possession. I certainly know from many years of work about spirit possessions. In other words, people who have died and do not go into the next realm, into the light, we say, and have hung around the earth plane and have sometimes attached to people. We all know about that through The Exorcist and so forth. I mean, but there are plenty of ordinary people who die and don't go on into the light, and they might eventually attach or indwell in a person. We call those ordinary earthbound entities. In other words, they're not evil, they're not bad, they're just regular people who just didn't make it into the light for one reason or another. But this is different because we're talking about extraterrestrial beings. I have not, even though I work with so many people, nearly 3,000 people now, and some of them with many regressions, I've never run into anybody who has been that overshadowed, it seems. But I think that the person who experiences that could, there are two things, could go to a practitioner who does spirit releasement work. I know somebody in the Los Angeles
area. That would be
me.
That would be me.
Oh, you do that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
excellent.
Yeah. Thousands,
well, that person should know that. Well,
yeah,
I'm glad to know that too. Yeah, because I refer people sometimes. I refer to a man who's in the L.A. area, East L.A., and he does very effective work. I should think then that you could perhaps effect a releasement of that overshadowing. I also think that the person who's experiencing that can exert his own power of mind, power of will, power of feeling, power of intention,
mm-hmm.
and send that out. Just communicate in thought or out loud, probably out loud might be even better, communicate that this is not acceptable, this must leave, must go back to wherever it came from. You're not wishing it any harm. You just are not open to having that there anymore. And so the person doing this, I think, has to really, really mean it and really be vehement about insisting that that influence leave.
Yeah, they have to
and
be in their own power,
I,
is what you're saying.
Yes, I think we do have the ability, we do have the power to do that sort of thing. One of the complications, I know, with the spirit inhabitation is that the person experiencing this gets very used to it. It's almost like having company. You know, it's like being not alone. And
right.
So one of the big challenges in doing this work, I've done some of it myself, but mostly turn it over to this other person, the person sometimes has to be encouraged to let go, to experience the difference after this indwelling one has gone, and give permission, in other words, for the one to go, to leave, to live without that one there anymore. I mean, the person would have to feel that, have to be ready for that in order to effectively insist on that other being leaving.
Right.
But
right.
I'm glad your listeners are hearing that you do that kind of work, and I'm glad too, and I would like to have a contact information after this interview
sure.
so I can refer people.
Sure, awesome.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, really,
we gotta,
yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so we got 7 minutes left. I want to say your websites before we unmute this person. And so meetthehybrids.wordpress.com and also www.wearethedisclosure.com, all one word. And Barbara's website is www.barbaralambmft.com. And you can get both books, the Meet the Hybrids and We Are the Disclosure, Parts 1 and 2, I believe, on Amazon or, you know, the regular book channels.
Sure.
So I want to meet this. Yep, awesome. We're going to unmute this person now. I don't know what number you're calling from because I think you're on Skype. So just so you know, you have about 5 minutes, so keep your question real short so Barbara can talk, okay? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi there. What's your name, first name?
Hello, are you talking to me?
Yes.
The caller. Oh, my name is Jude.
Jude. Okay, Jude, what's your question for Barbara and Miguel?
I haven't listened to everything except that hybrid part, and I saw this on the internet, and I was a little concerned. H negative O, and I've got the green eyes and the red hair, and I have a high IQ and a fast metabolism, and I always wondered about it.
You wondered if you were a hybrid?
Mm-hmm.
Are you wondering if you're especially a reptilian hybrid?
I don't know what to make of it. I just know that, you know, I've been telepathic in the past and had a boyfriend that we could communicate word for word, that kind of thing.
Wow. Well, you know, if you are a hybrid, I would say wonderful. Welcome to you. Thank you for being here on the earth. And do you feel that you are here for some sort of service in any way?
When I was 8 years old, I decided that I was going to create peace on this planet. And I don't know where that came from. I remember standing in front of my dresser, and then I was taking care of my dad in front of the same dresser. It was in my room, and I remembered it.
And you decided to do what on this planet? I didn't quite hear that.
I wanted to create peace on this planet.
Oh, good. Well, if you are a hybrid and you are here for service, like creating peace on this planet, I think that's wonderful. You know, you are to be honored and congratulated. In other words, not to worry about that. If you were here creating havoc and dissent and you wondered if you were a hybrid, that would not be a good thing. But I think that if you're here and you have that inner knowing that you're here to create peace on the planet, that's excellent. And if you have some extraterrestrial DNA, they are helping you with this. They may be totally behind the scenes, unseen by you, but they may be sort of telepathically helping you to really do this very wonderful work. Do you also have extraterrestrial encounters that you're aware of?
No, I've never been aware of that. I just feel like I just always felt different, but then a lot of empaths do feel different, and my family pretty much rejected me. And then later on, I thought I was real stupid. I didn't think I was pretty. I found out that I was very beautiful when I was younger and very brilliant. My family always made me feel like I was stupid. And the fact that I could read like 10 books and retain most of what I read if I had a passion for it.
Oh,
my father said, nobody can do that. That's what he would say to me. Nobody can do that. I said, well, Dad, I just did it. And then,
really? Oh, I envy you. That's great. I wish I had that ability.
Well,
it sounds like a really wonderful thing. I'm so glad you shared it with us. You can really cease worrying if that's possible for you. I don't think worry is justified. But, of course, if you didn't know, you know, it would be confusing. Whether you're a hybrid or not, you have wonderful abilities and such a good intention. And I really, really wish you well in just living your life and doing what you can to create peace on Earth. That's really wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jude. Well, and just did a mini check here because Jude is asking, Barbara, I'm getting that she is not a hybrid. She's actually a walk-in, and the walk-in soul is actually reptilian of a highlight score. And it started at age 6 and completed at age 11. But that's just a quickie scan. All great stuff. So this is really neat. And I so appreciate you and Miguel taking your time today speaking with us. I'm getting comments on the chat saying, thank you so much. This has been so great.
Karen, please let me know what your personal or office number is so that I can make referrals if they come up.
All right. Well, I'll have Jennifer give you all that information. And I want to, again, thank you both. It's been wonderful. The book is really well written. I look forward to reading the other two books. I have a lot of books on my to-do list. So this has been really fun. And it's so great to actually, test stuff and get messages from the divine, which sometimes are so weird to me, and then read a book that go, hey, that's what I just tested. You know, like, this is cool. Like, I'm not crazy, you know? Yeah.
Oh, that's
really
wonderful.
Great.
Yeah, we like that affirmation.
Thank you both, and thanks everyone for listening in. Bye for now. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.